Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood through it all. God's been good. Times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I've felt his arms around me as I face my darkest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt, as his grace rolled down upon me, undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood through it all. God's been good. God has been my father, my savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood through it all. God's been good.
And God has been good, hasn't he, right? And God still is good. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13, please. First book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 5. When you find that, if you please stand to your feet if you're able. If not, you can remain seated if you need to. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13. We'll read down to verse number 16, please, this morning. Matthew chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. God, we thank you because you have been good. Through it all, you blessed us, Lord, to know that we're saved and that you live with us. You help us each and every day. Lord, it's such a blessing and an encouragement and help to our lives. I pray that you be with us now during this service. Be with our pastor as he preaches. Be with those that are watching online, not able to be with us today. Bless them, Lord. Please be with the listeners today. If there's anyone here today that is not saved, I pray they would trust in you as their only Savior and put their faith in you today. Thank you, Lord, for this service and this church. We could be here today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As you're being seated, please, please turn your cell phone off. We had some folks had trouble with their cell phone. They left it at home. Is that a blessing? They're in counseling right now and going through withdrawal, but they're going to make it. Not a problem. So, thank you. Turn your cell phone off. Look at Matthew chapter 5 again this morning, please. You see our Savior here. He's admonishing us of what kind of Christian life we ought to have and what kind of Christians we ought to be in this world in which we live. Do you notice he uses two analogies, salt and light? Did you know there are 14,000 uses for salt? French fries is number one, but 14,000 uses for salt. We do understand the vitality and the importance of salt and light. There was a time when salt was the main means by which people considered money. It was valuable. They traded it like gold. Light, no, we understand light. What Jesus is trying to get across this morning, I'm going to relay it to you very quickly, is not only what you're supposed to be, look at me, what you're supposed to be in this present life, but it tells you a lot about what you are in this present life. It kind of reveals some things to you. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of this world. Did you notice he said earth and world? We're supposed to be the salt that covers this earth. You can find it just about any place on this planet. So that's why he used earth, because salt is just about anywhere you go today. Light, well, we understand the value of light, isn't it? But what he's not only trying to tell us to do is what you ought to be as a child of God, he's trying to tell you what your life is really like. Are you the salt of this earth, and are you the light of this world? It tells us what our Christian life, the quality of our Christian life. In other words, what he's trying to do is give us something to qualify the living we have. What kind of a Christian life do you have? Now, let me say something. Now, listen very carefully. Please do not ever try to pick up the Christian life without getting Jesus as your Savior first, okay? A lot of religions are trying to get people to live the Christian life, and they're not Christians. We live the life as a child of God because we are a child of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So be certain this morning, we're not talking about living the Christian life to become a Christian. We're talking about becoming a Christian, getting saved, trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then you become a Christian. Then from there, you live the Christian life. But have you ever qualified your Christian life? Have you ever looked at it and thought, I wonder what my Christian life, how I live it. I wonder what it tells me. Well, here's two things that are to tell you. Are you salt and are you light? Well, salt, let me see. Salt is a preservative. It is supposed to prevent corruption. Okay, look at me. You want to qualify your Christian life this morning? Let me ask you a question. Are you preventing the corruption of sin and carnality around you in your life? Notice it didn't say, salt doesn't stop it. It prevents it. It slows it down. We're living in a society today where it's very easy for us as Christians to stand back and grandstand the world and say, look at that world out there. Oh, my goodness. What a confusing turmoil and mess in this world today. And just run the list down of all the ills and wrongs and things and problems of our world today. Yet we are the salt of this earth. See, it tells me something about the quality of my Christian life. It tells me something about my life, what my life is like. Is it getting better or worse because of my life? How I live it? That's why, Christian, look at me. A child of God who lives in this world and of this world, is they're doing completely the opposite of what was intended. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wherefore come out from among them, be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We're supposed to live in this world. Jesus' great prayer in John 17, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. We're supposed to live in this world and make a difference in this world. He doesn't want us to go out and live in a cave somewhere because you can't put a satellite dish up there. But you can't go out and just hide yourself from the world. He didn't intend that. He meant for us to live in this world. He meant for us to go to stores and go through our lives. He meant for us to raise our families and do what we do. He meant for us to live in the world, but he meant for us to make a difference in the world and not be just like it. We're approaching our 40th anniversary as a church. And I look back at what Redding, California was when we came here and what Redding, California is now. It can be a little discouraging. They didn't allow the stuff in Redding 40 years ago when we came here. Oh. And you remember a time when the record searchlight, do you remember a time when that newspaper used to promote conservative thought and idea in our area here? Can you imagine that? Well, I'm not going to run the list down because then we're all going to get mad and go out and burn something down. But the truth of the matter is, the point is, I don't feel like, boy, those guys are the problem. I feel like, man, I must not be doing something right. I must not be preserving the wrong that's around me better than what I'm doing. So if I'm not salt. Look what it says in verse 13. If the salt has lost its savor, its saltiness, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to go to church, sit in a chair, get a little Jesus, and get up and go home. That's the shortened version of what he's talking about here. It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. And the reason society is walking on our Christianity is because it's Christianity that's not salty enough to get the cotton picking feet off of it. It's not about what the world is. It's about what we ought to be. It's a preservative salt. It's also a flavor. In-N-Out French fries are not edible without salt. You might as well take your shoelaces off and chew on them. And you got to eat them as soon as they give them to you, because if they cool off, it's over. It's over. It's like you might as well eat the box. The little tray it comes in, because it's over. But if you haven't put enough cheese on top of that and salt and pepper and ketchup, now you can eat it. It's a flavoring. Well, let me ask you, are you flavorful? Huh? Are you providing some flavor to the life in which you live? Is life more flavor? Is your home more flavorful because of you? That's what it's supposed to mean. It's supposed to enhance the flavor that's there. We're supposed to be making a difference in our lives, and if our saltiness is what it's supposed to be, then you know what? Our marriages ought to have the right flavor to them. Our families ought to have the right flavor to them. Your neighborhood should be flavorful because you are there. Our community should have the flavor of the goodness of God and his blessings in our lives. It's time for God's people to flavor this world with a little joy, a little blessing, a little goodness. It's time for us to bring the salt to this earth and provide a little flavor to it. So I was sitting on an airplane one day, and a lady across the aisle from me she was shaking. She was so nervous, so scared. And I leaned over and I said, "Ma'am, are you okay?" And she goes, This is my first flight. And I said, "Well, bless your heart." I said, "Don't worry about it." I used to be an air traffic controller. And I said, "Statistics prove if you were born on an airplane, lived every day of your life on an airplane, never got off, statistically, you'd be killed in a plane crash somewhere between your 72nd and 75th birthday. So you're fine." I said, "Ma'am, I'd fly from the living room to the bathroom if I could. I mean, it's that safe. Flying is not a problem. Now, crashing, you got to worry about crashing. Now, that's a problem, man." Every time I take off or land, 85, 90% of accidents on airplanes happen at takeoff and landing. So if I figure they get it up in the air, nobody's died from flying unless you had a heart attack and kicked the bucket. But, I mean, so I flavored her. I don't know if it helped, but I brought a little flavor to her life. She was still nervous. I couldn't help her. God's people shouldn't look like they got baptized in grapefruit juice. God's people shouldn't have a face on them so long they eat oats out of a gas tank. Hello? Now, again, if you smile all the time, it means you're creepy and your meds are not working. But the truth is, come on, are we going to heaven or what? Okay, good. I say we're going to heaven. So irregardless of whatever this life does to us, through us, and in us, it's not going to last any longer than this life. I guarantee that. And when we leave this life, we're going to go to heaven. So that ought to put a little flavor of anticipation and a little bit of joy in us and even make a Baptist smile. Salt teaches us what is your life like. Salt is also a healing agent. Oh, yeah. There's something curative about salt. And it's fascinating to think about how the fact that we should not only be flavoring our relationships, we're to be healing some of these things. Now, you can't fix everybody. Please, you folks that believe you're going to try and fix the whole world, you should probably lower your standards just a tad. But quite frankly, if our marriage gets in trouble, can't we, with the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit of God and the principles of the Bible, can't we get a broken marriage to get fixed? If there's something in the family that's just not working, can't we be the part of the healing agent of that? Now, again, you don't compromise to do it. You don't give in to the wrong to get that. That's not healing. That's compromise. But there's something about salt that's very curative. There's something about salt in a church. When a church is doing its job and they're salty Christians, that means, quite frankly, we're not going to have any issues with each other. It's going to last very long. We're going to get over it, get past it, get beyond it, move on, do what we're supposed to do. And if I can't heal somebody else for dead sure, I can fix myself. So that takes care of bitterness. That takes care of holding things against people, grudges. What do you see salt? Does it kind of show you what's the quality of your Christian life? Oh, one more thing about salt. It's an irritant. It's good on fries. It's lousy in your eyeball. Lousy. And it'll let you know it's there immediately. Huh? See, well, Pastor Johnson, am I supposed to be irritating? Well, some of you are, but I mean, that's not the point. The issue isn't, but I'm sorry, when I'm trying to help that world out there, there are some people who are not going to like what we do. And we're going to be irritating to them. And there's some of us who actually enjoy being an irritation to that stuff out there in the world. That's probably not the right spirit, but I'm sorry, I'm going to enjoy it anyhow. The truth is, it's people, you know, when I was in Alaska there, I was sitting in the restaurant with the pastor, and his wife had to go have an eye appointment. They have 6 kids, 5 boys, 1 girl, and we're sitting at a table in this restaurant about to eat. All right, a man with 6 kids, and one of them's a baby. You go into a restaurant, let's sit down, you know what you're thinking. It's over. I should just go to another restaurant. And this older couple about my age came and sit down right next to us. And the woman said, look at all those kids. And you could tell she was anticipating the Antichrist was about to break loose and it was going to be the plague of locusts. These kids were so well behaved. I mean, they just sat there. They got their food. They colored the little program thing, whatever it was. They got their food. They said in order. They were quiet. I mean, it was disgusting. And this, after a while, the lady looks over at Adam and she goes, I can't believe that. If my grandchildren were here, they'd have taken over this restaurant by now. And then she said this. She goes, you must be Christians. Yeah, salt is like an irritant to this world. Oh, but wait a minute. All it does is show them what they need to fix. Now, I'm not asking you to go out and shove anything down people's throat, blah, 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 blah. However, if you're, All that will of God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Somebody ought to be upset with you about what you're doing, how you're living. If you're getting along with everybody in the world, you are doing the wrong thing, not them. So the idea, this world needs a little irritation from God's people. They need to be irritated by the fact that we're not going to change our mind. We're not going to change our Bible. We're not going to change our beliefs. We're not going to change our practice. We're not going to change what we do. We're not going to stop our witness. We're going to keep telling, we're going to do what we're supposed to do. And if the world does, some of that world out there doesn't like it, that's their problem. Yeah, salt's an irritant. Are you irritating anybody for the right reason? It should be that way. Oh, see, that salt and light thing, that's teaching us, ladies and gentlemen, it's showing us what kind of Christian life have you got. Look at verse 14. Then he says, ye are the light of the world. You see the difference between earth and world? Earth, again, because salt covers the earth. What about the world? That's the system of this world. We live in a world of darkness, and the Bible says you're supposed to be light. So consequently, it's telling me something about my life. Now, of course, obviously, number one is this thing about me being light. The light of the world is... light dispels darkness. Hey, it pushes it back. Years ago, I preached a sermon something similar to this, and I had the guys block the windows out, and then we turned the lights off. 30 seconds later, half the crowd was snoring. No, just kidding. Two people just fell out in the aisle. It was unbelievable. Turned the lights off. You know what you saw? You saw nothing for a bit, and then what? Your eyes begin to adjust a little bit to the darkness, but it didn't get darker. It got more, it got more light. And then with no light whatsoever in this room, what little light came in under the doors, there, and over there, what little light came in began to make it less dark than it was before. You know what? It didn't take much light to make darkness dispel, because light stands out in darkness, ladies and gentlemen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hey, we are a city set on a hill, and you don't take a light and hide it under a bushel, the Bible says. You don't put it under a bed. You don't hide that light. You're supposed to let your light so shine. Yeah. There's something about God's people living godly lives that helps push the darkness back. Okay, so if I look at salt and it's preservative, how about light and it's preventative? How about light and the fact that it's pushing back against the darkness of this world? I tell you, friend, if you know your Bible at all, you know when the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Yeah, that's good for us in heaven. What happens here? Darkness sweeps this world. Because there's no child of God to push things back. I'm telling you, people, we've got to stop this thing of letting the world try to get us to be quiet, silent, back off, back down. And no. We need to let our light so shine. We need to stand up for Jesus Christ. We need to dispel that darkness and push it back. And you don't turn the light off and let it go. That's your fault. Darkness will take the place of light when light is not present. Okay, it qualifies your Christian life. You're pushing back the darkness in your life, in your home, in your family, your community, your neighborhood, this church, our world in which we live. Light dispels darkness. You know what else light does? It gives us hope. It gives us hope. It is so sad to see this world today. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I forgot what they're paying commercials now. I didn't look it up. I don't care. Huge amounts of money, but thank you for trying. I appreciate that. How much is it? Go ahead and tell me.
Well, they did spend $7 million on a commercial for Rihanna to say something about the Super Bowl.
I'm sorry I asked. Okay, good. Anyway, but thank you, young lady. I appreciate that. She's probably selling plumbing. Millions and millions. Do you understand? And people, they'll live and die more excited about watching the commercials than anything else and get a big kick out of that. And then what? Look at me. And then what? Well, tomorrow, the Super Bowl's over. Now we're going to do. Now we got to find hope in pumping 5 gallons of gas. And we're going to find. Look at me. The world is looking for something that's real. God's people. Listen to me. Let your light so shine. Yeah, there ought to be hope in what we are and what we do. That couple in that restaurant the other day, they came over and thanked us. I want them to pay the check, but anyway. They came over and thanked us and said, thank you for that. That's amazing. And I appreciate watching six kids just sit there and have a meal and actually act like humans. There's people, there isn't hope in the world. There isn't hope in politics. We know that. At least they're starting to shoot them down before they get over us now. Now you watch, they'll shoot down one of our satellites and one of our own airplanes because some of these guys, it's because it's politics. The military knows what they're doing. But, you know, you think, Pastor Johnson, let me ask you a question. Have you lost your hope? Hope thou in God. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's right. Get your chin up, friend. And God's people should be dispelling some hope in their lives because people see something about, they actually see a husband and a wife who even like each other, much less love each other. And fellas, Valentine's Day is Tuesday. You're already behind the eight ball. Some of you are looking at me shocked. It comes around every February 14th, okay? It is. And don't go down here to the little Speedy Mart and get one of them cheap $1 wooden roses and hand it to her. You knucklehead, you. And don't take her to Costco, you toothpick tightwad, and walk around the aisles and getting the freebies at the end of the aisles. You are terrible. She could build a 42-room mansion out of the toothpicks you've taken her over there for and call it a date. You cheapskate, get off of it. Anyway, that's to help our brothers. And two guys right there going, I got to get that down. It's Tuesday. It's not like it's a birthday or anniversary. It's the same day every year. Come on, it's the same thing. Anyway. Yeah, it gives some hope to see you take your family out in public and people not have to come and remodel the place because they were there. There's hope. Hello? There's hope. God's people dispelling light of the truth of the gospel of Jesus. And not one of those, watch me, see how perfect I am, you know. No. How about just light? It gives hope to people. When I was stationed up in Greenland in the Arctic, we had 24-hour darkness from early November until March. And it didn't just turn dark. I mean, it would just gradually get darker each day, and finally the light was out. And I'm telling you, you get goofy when you don't see light for a while. No, you do. You get goofy. I mean, I can't even tell you half the stuff guys would do just to try and break it up a little bit. I mean, it's 40 below zero, and here comes a guy riding into the chow hall on his bicycle. Not necessarily nattily attired. And he pulls up to the chow line and goes, ring, ring, rings the bell. I mean, he was just trying to break it up a little bit. We had a riot. They have a riot there every year because people get crazy and they just start busting loose and breaking chairs and throwing stuff around. It just kind of works like that. Then they sent a USO show up there of a bunch of girls from a Catholic college in Iowa. 18-year-olds off the farm in Iowa to a bunch of GIs who hadn't even seen a girl. Yeah, that was brutal. And I got another one. I can't share it with you, though. It's good. Takes two guys. Can of Campbell's vegetable soup, beef. Baggy, two guys. One guy dumps the can of vegetable soup in the baggie, puts it under his chin, pulls his coat up, goes into the chow hall. The other guy's sitting there, knows what's coming. He's sitting there, and this guy walks up and goes, oh, man, I feel terrible. And then he pours it out onto the table. The other guy picks up the peas and carrots and eats them. You know, it's one of those dishes. I said it was dark. And that's our military preserving our freedoms around this world today. Yeah, the Navy can't even open the can. Anyway, so. Okay, how does that give hope? Okay, let's back up on that point. No, then when the sun would come up, it was like, oh my, there it is. Just to see light, it gives hope. Child of God, how's your Christian life? How are you doing with your Christian life? Are you providing Is somebody getting some hope from how you're living with, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? Qualifying your Christian life on light is this also. Light gives direction. We're not out there to tell everybody how to live their life, but blessed be God, ladies and gentlemen, this life today needs some direction from God's people. We need to understand the value of the how we live our lives is providing hope that there's something different than what they have, but it's also giving them direction. Not come to me, come to Jesus. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know where I got what I got? I got it from Jesus. I got it from my salvation. I got it from his Bible, the light of the world. I got that from Jesus, the light of the world. And the Bible, the lamp to my feet, the light to my path. I got that from there. And you give direction to people so you can say, look, you don't have to go to that side. You can come over here and come to the light. And you'll see the good works of those. And they'll glorify their Father which is in heaven. It'll give direction to people in their lives. Qualify your Christian living. Are you giving people direction to go the right way or the wrong way? Are they going where they're supposed to? Are they backing up? Are they headed where they ought to be headed? Are you a cause for encouragement to go forward? Are you a cause for discouragement to go backwards? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of this world. What is your Christian life telling you about how your Christian life is going? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.